been encouraged out of my first attempt to step into fall off tonight. So we read please in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. There seems to be a recurrence of the same scripture just in this first day of the conference already. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now we read these words, some of them this afternoon, and I hope that tonight we'll be encouraged by the few things that are on my heart from these verses. I have been considering these verses for some time. It's one of the things about my job that I do enjoy. I don't enjoy being away from home as much, but I do enjoy the opportunity I have in the car when I have to drive long distances to meditate and to think. And the Word of God and perhaps some tapes that I have with me. So that's one enjoyment I do have when I'm away from all the phone calls and the stir of the office, and just quietly meditate on things of God. I travel more than most here, other than our preaching brethren. And as I travel around, I see that the problems that we have here in Winnipeg and Portage and Brandon are the same problems that we have all over, whether it be in Toronto or Vancouver or in the U.S. We pride ourselves on having the Word of God as our guide. We pride ourselves in saying that we gather as the Word of God teaches. We pride ourselves on having the truth, and yet we travel around, there's something missing. There's something missing. And I have considered for some time just what it is. The Lord is speaking to the religious people of his day. He said, you've waited sepulchres. Everything on the outside is clean, but not the inside. You've waited sepulchres. And I wonder, and I challenge all our hearts tonight, are we becoming like those religious leaders when the Lord was here? Well, they had all the form. Everything was right, and they wanted everything to look right and perfect as far as man was concerned. But their heart was as far away from God as the most ungodly sinner in that day. What is missing? Why, when we've got the truth, why when we have the Word of God at our fingertips, and men are able to teach it to us and expound it to us. Why is there still something missing in our assembly? Unless there is something missing in your assembly, what is it? What is it? I would like it to be my exercise for this conference as it came up, that I make the opportunity for men to give a word that would encourage. I'm not here to speak doom and gloom for the assemblies, because I need encouragement as much as any here. But it saddens my heart. And it discourages me when I see those that have put everything into the assembly and not achieve any results. To preach the word of God, to preach the truth of God. And it seems like that's considered. No interest. No concern. What is missing? Now, as I thought about it, I came up with this. That there's a reality missing in all our lives. That's the reality of God in our lives. Those that are grey-haired among us, if you took the time to ask them, they could recount times in their life when they had to depend on God. When men couldn't help them, the brethren couldn't help them, their friends couldn't help them, they were cast wholly upon God. That's reality. And what I'm afraid of today, as I look around, as I travel around, the assemblies of God, and I love the assembly. Perhaps I love it so much because I came out of the world and wasn't brought up in it, and it wasn't familiar to me. But I was saved right out of that rotten old world, and I appreciate what the assembly is, and I know what it means to me. But I wonder if today, as you look around, we're just becoming another church, another sect, another system. Should we preach the gospel? Should we have Bible readings and ministry meetings? But it seems sometimes just like water with a touch back, because of no reality in our lives. God isn't real to us. And that's why we just come out Sunday mornings. And maybe during the week. And that's why whole families are missing on Sunday nights, week after week, and month after month. Because I don't think God is real in our lives anymore. We're here for a purpose. And we're here for a reason. And it's not to fill a seat, but it's to realize that we have been drawn in contact with our living God. And one that takes an active dealing and wants to take an active dealing in every facet of our lives. He wants to be part of you, your life. He wants to be part of the decision that you make in your life. And as we've read, and I was encouraged this morning with our brother Boyle's message about the heart of the shepherd. There's three questions I have, and I found in these verses that we read tonight. There's more than that in the chapter, but at least they appeal to me. And the first one, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart? That's the first question. Where is your heart? The Lord Jesus himself said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where's your heart? I would like this meeting to be an encouragement. For these 2 days that we spend around the Word of God, to be an encouragement to all of us. And that as we go back to work on Monday, or back to school, or college, or whatever, that we can say it was good for us to be here. You know, this meeting already today is almost like a commitment meeting. There's nothing wrong with that. When each and every one of us, perhaps not for a long time, have really sat down and said, just where am I in my relationship with the Holy God? We can go through all the forms, and we can go through all the go to all the meetings, and everything looks fine. But there's something missing. And what is missing is the reality of God in our lives. He's there. And he's there with outstretched arms tonight, just as he was 20 or 30, or as we heard today, almost 60 years ago, when you went to him for salvation. And he's just as real tonight. But he wants you to trust in him. You know, we're getting away from the very promises that God gives us in his book. I will never leave thee and forsake thee. He's there when every trial and tribulation and situation comes into your life. He's there. But we don't go after him. And we don't seek him and the problem. We can handle it. We don't need anybody. We've got broad shoulders. And we'll leave God out. Or when circumstances come into our life, we get depressed and wonder, why is this happening to me? Why do these things have to happen to me? We've lost the reality of God in our lives. He has promised that he'll be with us. He's promised that he'll be near us. He's promised that he'll be there at every beck and call that we have for him. We don't take advantage of it. That's why there's a dearth in our assemblies today. Because we're not really looking for God in our lives. He's near. And he wants to be in your life. But he wants to be in mine. I never learned God, and I've said this before, it bears repeating. I never learned God from any man that was in a platform like this, or in a Bible reading, or anything I've read. I learned about him. I learned of him. But I never learned God until a hospital bed. In years, that's what God is real. When nobody could reach me, my family couldn't help. Just me and God. Just me and God. That's what I rely on. That's what gives me strength. So when other trials come into my life, I have the confidence of knowing that he can bring me through that. He can bring me through anything. But do we take advantage of it today? We don't want problems in our life. We want things just to go nice and rosy and easy. And life just to roll along. No complications. No problems. No need for God. And I fear today. And that's my worst fear, that we're just becoming like the churches out there. When you come on a Sunday morning, you hear a wee word about how good you should be. And I come away from all that. Because of the reality of the gospel that was preached and I heard. And I realized that they had nothing. And that everything was in Christ. Well, you felt that too, didn't you? That first day, when you recognize that you needed Christ in your life, what's happened since? What's happened since? Our love has waned and gone cold. And maybe in some cases, almost out. Where is your treasure? That's where your heart is. The thing that you prize the most, and I don't know what it is, there's a lot of you here tonight, I don't know what you really value in life. But I know what I value. And that's not the building up of my business. I said on Sunday, last Sunday, I think it was in the Bible class, that just over a month ago, I almost lost the whole business. I almost lost the whole thing. Now, a month later, I can see the reasons why God put things in my mouth. They weren't pleasant at the time. You see, your business collapsed and crumbled. They weren't pleasant. Caused a lot of anxiety. But you know the best thing to it? The Word of God spoke to us. Everything it seemed that my wife and I looked at from the Word of God, or even the daily calendar, gave us assurance that God was in it. That though things might be crumbling all around us, we still had God. What really is more important? What really is more important? Not what you have. Not what you think you're going to get or going to have. But the reality of knowing that whatever your circumstance in life is going to be, the God of the Bible is right there with you. Right alongside you. Right behind you. Carrying you. If only you'll want Him to be with you. If only you'll invite Him in to that life of yours. So the first question, I'd like to challenge all our hearts tonight, not just the young ones. Where is your treasure? Do you really value the assembly? Do you really value your brethren and sisters that form a part of the assembly? Do you really value the Word of God? Do you really value what you have in Christ? Where is your treasure? Verse 24. Who is your master? Who is your master? You know, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Another question that we can ask, and it's very pertinent in this day that we're living in, when I think as we've already heard this afternoon, things are so easy to get. I grew up in poverty in Scotland. We had nothing. And we never missed anything because nobody else had anything. But our lives here, man, they're so different. They're so different. I have more room in my living room than five children, my mother and father, my grandfather and my uncle lived in Scotland. Just about all of us in my living room. You know, we all grew up in that for more than a dozen years. Affluence. So easy to get to, isn't it, if you go after it. But I think in these days that we're living in, that there has to come a point in our lives. And this again is where the challenge should come to our lives. We can't sit in that fence any longer. We can't sit with one foot in the world and one foot in the assembly. It doesn't work. The Word of God tells you very plain. You can't serve God and mammon. You have to make a choice. And that's why it's nice to have meetings like this where the Word of God can be brought out and these challenges can be made to us. Because these are the things that are real and these are the things that are going to stand in your life when circumstances come. And when you're playing with the world and the assembly and the things of God, sometimes here, sometimes there, it'll never work. At some point you have to make a decision. At some point you have to decide what you're going to put your time and your effort into. Otherwise you're lost for both. You're not really enjoying the world, and you're certainly not enjoying the things of God. I know an assembly today, not around here. And you know, the real life to change the night of the meetings. You know why? Not because another night would be more suitable because you get more people out, or because it's more convenient for the area they live in. It's because a meeting night coincides with hockey night on television. And the poor souls have a decision to make. Do I watch that hockey game, or do I go to the prayer meeting? That's why they want to change the night. Brothers and sisters, where are we coming from? Where are we? And the things of God, when a decision like that has to be wondered about and pondered about. And that's where we're losing the reality. When hockey games and football games and any other entertainment that there is out there takes precedence and priority over the Word of God and over the things of God. And then we sit around and wonder why things are in the state they're in. will never change as long as we keep thinking things like that. And they'll only change as you and I, as individuals, decide that we're not going to sit on the fence any longer, but that God is really real in our lives, and that we really want Him in our lives. And that's where we put the focus of our attention and our efforts and our energies to the things of God. I spoke in the Gospel a few weeks ago, and I mentioned that these are exciting days, really, for Christians, because as you look around and what's happening in Europe and different places, to the Christian that is familiar with the Word of God, we know this whole thing is just all crumbling about us. And this world that everybody's trying to save, and we just had this Earth Day, or what it was the other day there, Sunday, last Sunday, where all the film stars and all the entertainment people and sports people of the world all got together to have a big clean up the earth situation. It's just a waste of time. The Word of God tells us this earth is headed for destruction. There's nothing left here. And our futile efforts to try and clean it up and preserve it and save it is not in the plan of God. It may be in their plan. That's not God's plan. And all their efforts to try and clean up the universe, or clean up the air, are no value. As we look around, we see this world is headed closer and closer to the time when our Lord's going to come. And I really believe that. I really do. I really believe that His coming is more imminent than we think. Now that might not please some of you young ones. I've got plans for your future, or your education, or marriage, as we've heard already. But it's going to happen. And I want it to happen. I'm very happy. I'm in a situation where, for the first time in perhaps many years, I'm happy I have most of my health. I have work that I enjoy doing. I have a family that is precious to me. And yet I still want a lot to come. Who are you going to serve? This whole world, there's nothing in it that's worthwhile hanging on to. We're going after. Who are you going to serve? Where's your treasure? Who's your master? Thirdly, what is your goal? What is your goal? Where are we heading? If we look around, we see discouragement. Not a lot to encourage. But we still must set goals. When I used to work for for companies, they always, every year they gave us goals that we had to reach in the different products that we sold. These are what you have to attain for this year. You have to sell so much of this and so much of that. These are the goals that the company set forth that you have to, reach. And I still do that. I still do it in a very complicated way. I just try and sell whatever I can. But as Christians, we should have goals. As families, we have goals, don't we? We set priorities in our life. We set things that we want to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just signed a contract last week with a man from Iowa for 3 years, 3-year contract. I might never see the end of that contract. I don't care. But you have to set some goals. You have to know what direction you're going in. You can't just flounder around and say, oh, well, whatever happens. We have to take charge of our lives. We have to set some priorities about where we want to head, what direction we want to head. And that's the third challenge or question that I'd like to put out tonight, and the last one. Just where are you heading? Now, you might know where you're heading in your education. You might have set goals there, and you probably haven't. There's nothing wrong with that. You may have set goals in the company that you work for, but what you want to attain, and there's nothing wrong with that, you should work as best you can for the Lord. But have you set them in your spiritual life as well? Do you have goals that you have set that you want to attain? We heard about it a little bit this afternoon from Brother Jim. Some that are saved but not baptized. Some that are baptized but not in fellowship. Now these are just small goals, but they are goals. They are things that we should be looking towards and trying to fulfill what the Word of God would command us. But most of all, in our lives, are we setting spiritual goals for ourselves? Now what do you mean by that? That from this day, from this night, that you want God to be an active part in your life and not inactive. Not somebody who you know is there, but really you're doing fine without him. That if you see something needing done in the assembly, you'll do it. If you see somebody needs visited, you'll do it. Or you'll help in a track work or in a distribution of texts. There's a gospel meeting coming up. But if you think these two men are going to come up here and do wonders and save dozens of people by their influence, you're wrong. You're very wrong. That's going to start with you as well, and the contacts that you and I make, and those that we speak to about the Lord. We're not having these meetings because these men have got nothing else to do. And because we want to sit in a meeting for 3 nights, for 7 nights a week, for 3 weeks, or 4 weeks. We have these meetings because our spiritual goals are that people that are unsaved might get saved and baptized and brought into assembly fellowship. These are the spiritual goals that we have as elders, some of the spiritual goals. But we also have to set them in our own lives. And I think the most important one that any of us could set in our lives is that we, if perhaps we haven't done it for a while, just sat down and asked ourselves the question, just what does God really mean to my life? Is it really important? Is it really there? The problems in our assemblies today of lack of spirituality, of lack of exercise, the lack of coming to meetings, is only something that's on the outside, something I can see and that you can see. The real problem is right in here. The things of God and the love that we once had for Christ has gone down. And other things have taken up our interest. Somebody asked me a year ago or more, maybe, what I thought was the most important thing in a Christian's life. I thought about it for a minute or two and I said, I think I would say it would have to be balance. Where God gets everything that he should get out of my life, and everything else takes place after that. Now, unfortunately, I'm not standing up here saying that that's the way I live. But I think that's the important thing in our life. That our priorities are right. And there isn't a day that goes by when my wife and I are praying by our bed that I don't ask God to keep my priorities right. To keep my life in balance. Because it's very easy to seek after, especially in the business world today. There's no limits. There's no limits to what you can do out there in attaining wealth. Unfortunately, by the experiences that God has put into my life, I'm able to recognize that I need his help every day to keep those priorities right. And I ask him every day to make sure that the business or other things don't take precedence and priority in my life. What is your treasure? Who is the master? And what are your goals? seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Brothers and sisters and young people tonight, let's get back to that position in our lives when Christ was a reality in our lives. That He meant something to us and we needed Him in our lives day by day. Let's get back to that position and let our heart, the treasure of our heart, be the things of God, the things of Christ. And the Master that we serve is God alone. And that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's where you're going to end up. The things that you gain and gather around you here are all going to be lost. That's what we read at the very first in that chapter. Moth comes in and you corrupt it and it rusts. It's all gone. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're going to spend the rest of eternity in heaven. Only with our Lord. He's going to be the occupation that we have up there. So if you're not occupied very much with Him down here, I just wonder how much you'll enjoy the occupation up there. And God bless you.